organization out with a recap of the past year, a look back on 2022. Of course, every year seems to be a dynamic one in the biofuels industry, but certainly this one has to be on that list as well. What did you see as you look back to this past year?
Yeah, well, thanks so much. First and foremost, thanks for the opportunity to join you and to talk about the Minnesota Biofuels Association. So we release this annual report every December for two reasons. One, to take stock at all we've accomplished in the previous year and recognize all the positive things we've achieved for the biofuel industry as an association. But number two, more importantly, to talk about how we work toward our common goals in 2023. So, you know, when we looked back, we looked at one of the major accomplishments in 2022 was the success of E15 or unleaded 88 in the state of Minnesota. So we did a lot of work to secure both state and federal biofuel infrastructure funding for Minnesota retail locations so they could install blender pumps, upgrade their underground storage tanks. And now Minnesota today leads the nation in retail stations offering E15 or unleaded 88 at 422 stations. So that was one big thing that we worked on, and that's something that we will continue working on here in the next year. There's additional federal funding from the Inflation Reduction Act that's coming for biofuel infrastructure funding. So we want to make sure that we're continuing to get those dollars out there so that every retail station in Minnesota that wants to sell E15 or unleaded 88 can do so. But, you know, and also going forward, I think we also just need a permanent solution on the year-round sale of E15. So, you know, we're setting all-time records in the state for unleaded 88 sales. We exceeded 9 million gallons sold in the state in July, August, September, and October. And so right now we're on track to sell more than 100 million gallons in the state in 2022. So we just need a permanent solution to make sure that consumers can continue to select unleaded 88 at the gas stations here this next summer.
You mentioned 422 stations. What state would come close to that? What ballpark would they be in?
Oh, that's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I think the next closest would probably be Iowa, but I'm not 100% sure what their number is. It's probably pretty close to us, but it's I'd have to double check and get back to you on those numbers.
It's interesting when we talk, we kind of go back and forth between unleaded 88 and E15. Does that create any confusion or the branding of that? Or
it does a little bit. It's been one of our challenges is that you know, the different retail locations, you know, it's all based on octane rating. And so, yeah, we have tried but I mean, I think that's to your point. That's one of the challenges, I think, is we have a lot of education to do both for legislators, but also for consumers that, right now, today, all gasoline in this country has 10% ethanol in it. And so, you know, E15 being 15%. Ethanol. And so, but because of the way that the octane rating is typically marketed, it is a challenge. And it just means we have our work cut out for us to go out there and do more education about the importance of choosing higher blends of ethanol just because of their economic and environmental benefits.
No doubt. As you look into 23, how do you go about some of those challenges you're talking about? How do you reach some of those goals you have?
Yep. Well, first, I think, you know, there are almost 70 new members in the Minnesota legislature after redistricting and November's election. And so, you know, we're going to be focusing a lot on engaging and educating those new members from both parties about the economic and environmental benefits of ethanol. But second, I think, you know, the availability of higher blends of ethanol is going to be our number one priority. So we're going to continue to secure that permanent solution. We've been working a lot with our Minnesota federal delegation. Senator Klobuchar, Representative Craig have both introduced legislation to ensure that consumers have access to E15 at the pump year round. And so we're going to continue to work towards that goal. And then third, you know, like I said, we've been breaking records in the state because of the efforts to provide additional funding for the installation of those biofuel infrastructure. And so we're going to be working and pushing to maintain funding for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture has a biofuel infrastructure grant program that provided $12 million over the last 2 years for biofuel infrastructure. And so we'll be working on that and to make sure that we can secure a more consistent funding source on that. And then, you know, so lastly, I think it's mostly just about doing those education, and it's about getting out and meeting all these new members. It's about leveraging our partners at the Minnesota Biofuels Association. So whether that be commodity growers, a lot of the companies that support the ethanol industry, it's leveraging those folks to make sure that we're getting out there and we're really highlighting the issues that matter to the industry and conveying those to our legislators.
It's interesting you talk about the legislature. There was a time, I think, when ethanol was almost sacrosanct in the Minnesota politics. I mean, I can remember one of those governor's races that really hinged on when a lieutenant governor candidate didn't really have an answer when it related to ethanol. Are we in that same position, or do we have work ahead of us with all those new faces?
Well, I think one of the great things about ethanol and about biofuels is it truly is a bipartisan issue. We do have support from both the DFL and the Republican caucuses. And so I think that certainly makes our job easier. But at the same time, as we saw with this most recent election, it's really about the urban and rural. Right now we have a lot of the truth of the matter is there are not many DFL legislators that represent areas in the rural parts of Minnesota. So a lot of our plants are located in the areas that are controlled by or that are represented by Republican legislators. So that just means we do have to do that education piece that I talked about. We have to go out there and really talk about how ethanol specifically reduces carbon emissions. So, you know, one of the major priorities for the DFL caucus here going forward is going to be addressing climate change. And I think, you know, ethanol has shown through numerous studies, both from USDA and from private research institutions, that, you know, it reduces carbon emissions by half as much as gasoline. So that's an immediate solution. It's not 5-10 years down the line. It's right now. By using higher blends of ethanol, we can address lowering carbon emissions from our transportation sector. So it's getting out there. It's making sure that those messages are being conveyed, and it's making sure that we're tailoring those messages to the audience that we're talking to.
Brian, I've got a ag audience, obviously. Is there education that still needs to happen within that farm community?
From my perspective, no. I think our farmer members are some of the most passionate, some of the most informed. I'm always impressed whenever I sit down with my family, with my uncle who still farms near Pipestone, just at how much they understand what's going on just in federal policy and state policy, and are really driving the conversation from a grassroots level. So from my perspective, no, I think the folks that I meet with, the farmers that I meet with on a weekly basis, I think are some of the most astute when it comes to ethanol policy and just the way that this industry is supporting rural communities. I mean, we put out every single year, the Minnesota Biofuels Association, we do an economic study about the contribution of the industry to Minnesota's economy. And last year, so we're currently working on putting together our report for 2022, but for 2021, the ethanol industry generated over $6 billion of economic activity and supported nearly 23,000 jobs in the state of Minnesota. So those are, you know, those are the industry is really creating a economic development opportunities in rural Minnesota. And I think that fact, I think, is something that's not lost on folks that are in rural areas of the state.
Anything I'm missing, Brian, that I didn't touch on?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, we just really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about the ethanol industry and the work that we're doing and the work that we plan to do this next year. And, I've coming from having taken over this job very recently after spending 15 years out in Washington, D.C., you know, I've really just seen what this industry has done to support rural economic development, open up new markets for agricultural feedstocks, and really to improve our air quality. And so, you know, I just think it really has a potential to be a bigger part of the solution on so many of these pressing issues that we're seeing right now, whether it's high gas prices, whether it's, carbon emissions reductions, or whether it's, you know, reducing our dependence on foreign imported sources of foreign oil. And so, you know, I just think that biofuels have a potential to really play a larger role here going forward, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about that.